Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm actually producing my show and doing my show from Massachusetts, Andover, Massachusetts. Very, very exciting here. I've been on a Healing Happens tour. We did an evening of readings last night. A lot of fun. And, you know, just got to love Contact Talk Radio, that you can be anywhere in the world and really still be online. I'm going to enjoy doing the show today. The topic that I'm talking about is the hidden meaning behind tinnitus. And it's actually a suggestion from listener from British Columbia. Her name is Brenda. And she asked me if I would talk about tinnitus, as it's something that she has been dealing with, and it seems to be getting worse all the time. And she just was trying to figure out, you know, what could be causing it and how it, is it going to progress, or what can she do to be able to work with it? So I'm going to be answering all of those questions, Brenda, in this particular show. Thank you very much for the suggestion. If any of you have a show suggestion for me, I encourage you to visit my website, www.ritberger.com. Or you can always go to Contact Talk Radio, go to my host page, and there's ways for you to be able to submit information there by clicking and then going to my website. So I would love to hear from you, and I would love to be able to direct the show and all the information to a topic that you're interested in. It was interesting that I had chosen this show before I actually left on tour, and I was doing readings last night, and there was a woman that in the audience that also talked about tinnitus and how uncomfortable it was for her, and that she had a friend that had it so bad that it was just blocking out so much of their life that that person was even talking at one point in time about being suicidal. And it was like, oh my gosh, no, there's things that we can do about this. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Most important, I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about tinnitus or about your health in general, I encourage you to call me at 877-230-3062. Again, that's 877-230-3062. And that number is good for Canada and the United States. We can even do Hawaii if we have any Aloha Hawaii people over there. So again, please give me a call. I would love to answer your questions. So tinnitus, basically, we've heard, many people have heard about it, but what it is, it's literally a ringing in the ears. And however, sometimes as it develops, the ringing in the ears can be so loud that it sounds like an actual alarm or a hissing or maybe a buzzing. And I've had people say, well, it sounds like something's chirping in my ears, Carol, or there's a humming, clicking, whistling, crackling sound. And this actually, in tinnitus, when I was doing the research around this, over 50 million Americans actually suffer from it. And it usually starts out as a soft, kind of a sporadic ringing, and then what it develops is into something a lot more loud, and then it becomes constant. It may be intermittent to begin with, but then it'll actually become more constant. It's a difficult condition for doctors to treat, because only the person that hears it can detect it, and it's like trying to describe what's happening in a car when it's an intermittent thing, especially if that's where it is. And you go to a garage and you say, well, my car kind of misses when I go this speed. And they'll say, well, when was the last time it did it? And you try to remember that. So, again, very difficult for doctors to be able to actually work with, because only you can hear it. It's, you know, some people, it'll sound like it's a creaking joint. And so many times they'll go see a dentist to look at TMJ, or maybe it's the pounding of a blood vessel where you can actually, sounds like you can hear your blood moving through your body. And sometimes it may even sound like a slight heart murmur. And the best thing to do is to, if you go to a doctor, is to ask them to put that stethoscope on and then see if they can pick up any kind of anomalies. Can they pick up a heart murmur? Or what is your pulse rate, or what is your blood pressure, to see if that could be contributing to it. So, but truthfully, I need to tell you, most of the time, if you go to anyone with tinnitus, you're going to leave frustrated because you're trying to describe it, they're trying to hear it, and the two never seem to quite match at the same time. There are actually many contributors to tinnitus, chronic ear infections. It could be trauma to an inner ear, such as an injury. I find that a lot of people, when they were young, when they had their tubes in the ear, then it can create an actual, maybe a perforation in the ear canal itself, and then it can create a scarring. So if you've had chronic ear infections and or tubes in the ear, that could also contribute to it. Also, the aging process that really affects a lot of the inner ear mechanisms, such as the ear bone actually softening, and that occurs with osteoporosis. And then in wax buildup, again, I talked about TMJ. That is something that if you do and have tinnitus and it sounds like a creaking bone or something, then what you'll want to do is to go in and to actually have it checked, go to a dentist and see about it. Also, a lot of times when people take full-strength aspirin, and now that's the 325 milligrams, it's not the 81 milligrams that so many people are having to take for managing heart and keeping the blood thin and so forth, but it's the full-strength. And then also, many times ibuprofen can contribute to tinnitus, high blood pressure, pressure on the eighth cranial nerve. We have 12 cranial nerves in the head, and the eighth one is actually the nerve that's tied to our hearing. Interesting enough, vitamin B12 deficiency. Certain medications, such as Coumadin, a lot of times Coumadin is used to thin the blood, and again, a lot of effects like the full aspirin or ibuprofen, cancer drugs, and then certain antibiotics. In very rare occasions, there could be a brain infection. And I found as a medical intuitive, a lot of times when people suffer from chronic candida, that candida becomes systemic. And when it becomes systemic, it actually travels through the bloodstream into the brain itself. And so if someone has that chronic issue, many times there may be some tinnitus around that also. And then even when the immune system becomes compromised in any way, so you can see that, you know, the old kind of thought around tinnitus is that whenever you get it, then what it's trying to tell you is your blood pressure is high or maybe there's something wrong with the heart, but you can tell that there's a lot more information around that. So when I go in with tinnitus as a medical intuitive, I find that there's a lot of congestion really in that ear, sinus, and then also, interestingly enough, in the throat area, tied to throat and mouth. So when you go in and hear any of that, that's where I'm going to find the congestion. A lot of times people with tinnitus will complain about a lot of sinus infections. There's a connection there as well. So, again, it's something that, you know, we can have. It can be intermittent. For some people, it'll come. And then for other people, it's going to, you know, go, and then for other people, it seems like it starts, and then it just builds up and builds up and becomes a place where it becomes very, very uncomfortable and can actually block what you're hearing other people say. It can sound like you're creating kind of a monotone deafness if you can't hear different voice fluctuations. And so as you're, you know, looking at it, what you really should do is to just be able to monitor it. Interesting enough, I find sometimes with people with food allergies, if you eat food that you have an allergy to, it can also create tinnitus. So, again, it's not something that is life-threatening, but it's something that definitely, definitely is irritating. So I'm going to continue to talk about this. Again, thanks, Brenda. If you have a suggestion, please send it to me, and we'll go from there. And so, Rebecca, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks for helping me out on this. And do we have any callers yet?
Yes, we do.
Well, good, good.
The callers
nice
are all very excited.
Find yeah. me here in Massachusetts as well. Okay, why don't you go ahead and direct me to the first caller, please?
Fantastic. I sure will. Our first caller up is Karen, calling in from California, and she would like to talk about tinnitus.
Well, hi, Karen, from California, huh?
Yes, I am. Hi, Carol. How are you?
I'm fine. What part of California are you from, hon?
Carlsbad.
Oh, that's a terrible place to have to live.
Oh, I know. It's foggy today, though, so that's okay.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you have a question about tinnitus. How can I help you?
Well, actually, my husband has tinnitus. He's had it for, like, the past 5 years or so, and he's tried the earwax candle. And what his question is, he's at work, told me to call you.
Okay.
Is there something he can do to keep it from getting worse, or what? Or can you tune into him, or how can we get
Yeah, absolutely I can. You're a very good surrogate. You'll let me just kind of go through you to him. The ear waxing is a process that he'll need to continue. He does seem, especially in the right ear, it feels like he does seem to get a wax buildup. It's probably an anatomical thing more than anything else. It seems like the ear itself, when it starts dropping down into the inner ear with that ear bone and the inner ear mechanism, that it drops down, so there is an actual wax buildup in that. But what I'm picking up even more, did he go on, is he on medication, hon?
No, he's not. And he doesn't even like to take aspirin that often.
Yeah. When was the last time he had his blood pressure checked?
Oh, gosh, probably a year.
You know what he might want to do is to get a blood pressure machine that he can just do at home and just monitor his blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I can feel that he's under a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's stress related. But for some reason, I'm thinking that his blood pressure is increasing.
Okay.
And it may very well be tied to that. I don't find that resting heartbeat being down really low.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may be something that he would like to look at. The other thing that he might want to do is to just try, I know he doesn't, you said he doesn't like to try aspirin, mm-hmm. but you might just see if he would be willing to try the 81 milligrams, just a real small dosage,
mm-hmm.
and see if he'd do that for a few days and see if that takes care of it. It feels like being tied to the wax definitely in the right ear,
okay.
but the blood pressure feels a little high, and the aspirin may thin the blood down a little bit to where he'll be able to manage stress, and I think he can manage his blood pressure.
Okay.
So see if that's the case. I went in, and while I was talking to you, I was poking around to see, do we have allergies and things like that, but I keep coming back that it's tied to it feels like, is he looking at a change or something, huh? Because there's a lot of stress around him right now.
Yeah, we are going through a tremendous amount of change, and he is under a lot of stress.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what you can also do, Karen, is just ask him to become
mindful
of the fact that mindful, where he just becomes aware that when he gets it, because it doesn't feel like it's all the time. I can pick up an intermittence about it, but when it does, it feels like it's really loud.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really bothers him.
Yeah. Well, it's causing him to feel like he's getting tone deaf, and I think that's probably what he's really concerned about,
oh.
is that he's going to lose his hearing, because there's certain tones in people's voices or high-pitched frequencies. Yeah, he's just not getting that, and I think that's where his concern is.
Okay, so is there something he can do for that?
Well, what my thought was is that, you know, if we can just kind of get that blood pressure down, and then also if he can become aware of when is it worse. Is it worse at the beginning? Is it of the day? Is it worse at 3 o'clock? Is it worse in the evening? And I think that we could almost, on a daily kind of energy chart, I could find that he has days where he doesn't have anything, and then he has days between 3 and 6 o'clock he has a lot.
Oh, okay.
So see if you can manage it, look at it that way, and then what that'll do is it'll help him, Karen, come back and look at his day cycle, what was happening, what kind of stress was he under, and then at those times of the day, maybe, you know, just having a little bit of an outdoor breather break if he could, or maybe a little bit of green tea or something like that, that might be able to help him and just kind of calm him at those times.
All right.
But again, I go into both of the ears. The ear bone is still very healthy. The inner eardrum is still very healthy. My sense is that his concern about losing his hearing is not one that he has to be concerned about.
No, because he also plays the bass, and music is very important to him.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you know, he may have to just kind of go in and use that intuition aspect of it also, and just kind of, I know this sounds kind of woo-woo, but go to his heart, and he can hear the music, and then see, and that's very relaxing to him.
Okay.
Does he pick up his guitar every night?
He does it about twice a week.
You know what, if he just, before he even went to bed, if he just went in and just played, and, you know, not having to do anything, no performing, no getting it right, but I can just pick up that, you know, just the movement of his hands and the instrument and everything is very calming. So there's another way to work with it.
Oh, that's a good idea. Thank you for that.
Well, you are welcome. And then we don't even have to do some of the other things, do we? So see if that works for him.
Okay, thank you so much, Carol.
Oh, thanks, Karen. Have a wonderful day. Okay, Rebecca, how about another one?
All right, Carol. We've got Jill. She's calling in from Palm Springs, California, and she wants to discuss some anemia and possible skin issues. Welcome, Jill.
Oh, very good. Okay. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
I'm fine.
Thrilled to have you back on the radio. I missed you.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm very excited. I was, you know, last night in Massachusetts, heard the same thing, and it's like, oh, no, go find me on Contact Talk Radio. So this is good. Well, thanks for joining me. Let's see, you have questions about, you said, skin, and what else was it, hon?
Anemia. I've had anemia for about 3 or 4 years. I've gone to several doctors, have had liver biopsies, bone marrow tests, all kinds of blood tests and everything, and nobody can really identify the source of the anemia. And I think that the anemia is causing, I'm 42, no, I guess I'm 44 this year. And my...
I know that feeling really well, Jill. They just kind of become a blur, hon.
I know. My skin is like an 80-year-old. It's so, especially from my elbows down to my knees down, it's so thin and easily torn. It just, you know, I constantly have to, I can't even put a Band-Aid on. I constantly have to put some sort of gauze and a wrap around lesions. And they tell me it's all related to the anemia, but... I'm wondering if maybe you can look inside and then also kind of run over my hormones and see where they're at, too, if you could.
Oh, good. Yeah. We're going to have to go to the hormones because, you know, the anemia that you have and the skin thing really started about 34 years old. I can go back then, and you really started having some hormone fluctuations at that point in time. And, it, you know, we get kind of personal here on the radio. But can you go back to when you were mensing in your early 30s?
Yeah.
And you're bleeding and so forth. Really, what I'm picking up with anemia, the liver, from an anatomical standpoint, is functioning very, very well. It's, you know, still doing its job. But what I pick up is the anemia was tied to the estrogen and being estrogen dominant. And then it feels like with the estrogen, you had a lot of peaks and valleys with the estrogen. And that's why I'd ask about the menses, because I had picked up in the early 30s.
Well, I was on the pill for almost all. I was on the pill, the birth control pill, for almost all of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did eat a lot of tofu.
Let me go in and see. I can't connect the tofu to the anemia, but I'm going to hang on to that one. So when I go into the anemia, what I do is I find that it has to do with the amount of blood loss. It has to do with the estrogen. Even though you were on the pills, you still felt like to me you were estrogen dominant. As a result, the estrogen progesterone was never really balanced, even though the pills seemed like it was taking care of everything. And so I can find the predisposition for this anemia at that point in time tied directly to hormones. When I go into the skin and the quality of your skin, I can also tie it to the hormones. And I'm going to give you a visual. If you were to take your thyroid, which is, of course, in the center of your neck right around that larynx, and then you were to draw a straight line right underneath the right lower rib that you have, that's the liver, and then you were to draw a straight line all the way across to your immune system, which is the spleen, part of the immune system, and then back up to the thyroid. Those are the three areas for you to be working on. And your thyroid feels low. if you're not off the scale, I'd be surprised, but you're pretty close, right literally ready to fall off. That's some of the metabolism changes that you're having. When the thyroid changes, then it also affects the quality of the skin. It can affect the skin from either getting thin or getting thick, so that can be what's going on. And then the liver loves greens. The darker the green, the happier the liver. And when you go in and you're looking at kale, it feels like you need some calcium when you're looking at kale or you're looking at green leaf lettuce, not iceberg. Get as much chlorophyll as you can naturally. And that will help cleanse the liver. And the liver is also part of the production of red blood cell count. It's tied to the bone marrow and how it works. So if you can feed it greens, feed it red fruits and vegetables, stay away from things that are acidic, a lot of tomatoes, and then also orange fruits and vegetables, vitamin C, that's going to help the liver. It's going to help your skin. And my sense is it'll cleanse the liver, give it what it needs, and you should feel some energy changes.
I do a lot of that, but it doesn't seem to absorb. That's what the bone marrow says, that all of this is going on, but for some reason it's not getting through my system.
Right. So have you talked to anybody? Do you work with a naturopath?
Okay.
Do you work?
Yeah. No, I don't.
Okay. What I would like to see you discuss with someone is to get on iron. But you have to be careful of the type of iron. That's why I want you to work with someone. Not one size of iron fits all. And what I mean by that is the iron, putting iron back in the body, there has to be the right iron for the body and the chemistry to where the iron will be absorbed the way that it needs to. You're low, honey, on magnesium, iron, copper, boron, folic acid. Now, you can go back into the archives and listen to this, and then you can write it down, or you can download it to your iPod if you have one and then go that way. But those are the minerals that you're low on, and I think that that's causing also the anemia, but it's also causing the skin to be affected.
Should I do anything about my hormones? Because now I'm taking bioidentical.
You are doing bioidentical?
Estrogen and progesterone only.
Okay. That feels like it's going to have to be constantly looked at and tweaked. The process of the bioidentical is works for you. The person you're working with, did they test you for DHEA?
No.
To see where your DHEA level was?
No.
What do you do to go back to the person you're working with bioidentical?
I'm sorry, what?
When are you due to go back and work with the person that is giving you the bioidentical?
Actually, within the next couple of months.
Good. When you do, would you please ask them to check your melatonin and your DHEA?
Okay.
And see if they need to add some more to what you're taking. And the DHEA works with the immune system, and it also works with the liver. I think that will help you.
Okay.
And so, let's see, the skin is being affected by the anemia, it's being affected by the red blood cells, but more it's being affected by the immune system. So if you're looking at how to deal with this, Jill, so I can kind of combine it down and so I can give you, you know, the snapshot of it, you'll want to work with someone that, whoever you're working with, is it a naturopath that you're working with in your bioidentical? Who are you working with?
An OBGYN.
Okay, very good. Would you, I don't know if they would do, would you ask for a thyroid test?
Okay. I have had those, and they've always come within the normal range, but on the low side. And
yeah,
one more thing, I haven't had a period in about 5 years.
Yeah, and see, that's really, really premature for your age.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's why I go back to the hormones back at 34 that I picked up. So the reason I went there, Jill, is so you could see that this has been a long process where your body has just reached a place that it doesn't know what to do. So if you check the thyroid, and then also have them check for the DHEA and see if you need that melatonin. and see if you need that. And then look at ways that you can go in and help your immune system by strengthening it with just rest or even meditation. And one last thing, when I go in your liver, the emotion that I pick up that's the strongest is guilt. And when I touch you, sweetie, the guilt that I find you carrying isn't you. So look at who in your life is causing you to feel guilty or is replaying some of these thoughts that you have about inadequacy or not being enough or not giving enough or not doing enough or, you know, not, you know, helping people enough. There's some mantras. There's some old kind of stories that I hear in you. And when you get yourself into those places, this guilt comes in. And that's housed in the liver, and we just want to get rid of that also.
Okay.
Yeah. So just some different ways to look at it, and I think that if you can get the right combination of the hormones, we can find out where the thyroid is. Continue doing what you're doing, and then ask the doctor also about different forms of iron and see if that would be something that would be worthwhile for you too.
And with the guilt, I go straight to my mother, of course, and... doesn't everybody? And
yeah,
I mean,
really, doesn't everybody? You're so right there, sweetie.
I've limited my contact with her, but I've also incorporated massage and meditation twice a day just to try to, I mean, you know, I can't cut her off, but then because I feel guilty, but on the other hand, I need to buffer myself. So other than that,
that's a great approach.
Okay.
So when you feel like you can deal with it, go for it. When you start feeling guilty, bye-bye.
Okay.
And then the massage, very, very good for you, very relaxing for you. It gets rid of the toxin in the lymph system. It gets the circulation moving. Very, very good for you. That's a quiet place for you to go and just literally be in your body. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Okay.
So keep doing what you're doing and then ask about those other things, Jill.
Terrific. Thank you so much. And I'm thrilled to have to find you and listen to you and archive you.
Well, very good. Yeah,
that's,
you know,
great.
And you can archive me without any kind of cost on it.
I know. I was thrilled. I was so angry when the other station did that. So I think it's terrific.
Well, good. Well, thanks very much, hon. Light and love to you.
My love to you. Thank you. Bye.
You are so welcome. Okay, Rebecca, how about if we just take a short commercial break and then we're going to come back and I'll talk a little bit more about tinnitus. So please stay tuned. I'm going to talk about some of the psychological implications and then I'm going to go back to taking your calls.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Remember, you can podcast or download any or all of the shows right here on ContactTalkRadio.com by visiting each of your favorite hosts' page.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now. Toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Well, thank you for joining me today. It's very exciting to have you on board. I just had a listener say that she was so glad to find me on Contact Talk Radio. It's a nice home. And so if you are just joining me, I've been talking about tinnitus. It actually was a suggestion from one of my listeners from British Columbia. If you have a suggestion for me about a show, I'd love to hear from you. And then if I use that suggestion on air, what I'll do is I'll send you an autographed copy of my book, Healing Happens With Your Help, and then also a free CD, Health and Healing Through the Eyes of a Medical Intuitive. If you want to submit a suggestion, you can go right to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then that will be able to get you in there. Send me an email. Let me know what you'd like to talk about, and then I will go through it and see if I can put it on air for you. Tinnitus, ringing in the ear. I talked about the fact that it can be anything from a whistling, a chirping, a clicking, a hissing. It really isn't a one-size-fits-all. But I talked about a lot of the contributors that we know that causes it, such as chronic ear infections. I even talked about sinus infections. But what I want to talk about now is, as a medical intuitive, I don't look at things just from the body. I look at things from that whole part. It's kind of like peeling back the layers of an onion. And when we look at tinnitus, all of the things we happen in our body are sending us messages. And our soul is really using our body to basically tell us what in our life is being compromised, or are we saying things that are not healthy to us. And one of the things I find with a metaphor with tinnitus is that when you say things to yourself that you wouldn't say to your worst enemy, tinnitus is so you can't hear yourself saying these things to yourself. And what your soul is saying, just sip it. You don't need to talk about those things and hash it over and over again. And so, again, as a medical intuitive, looking at it differently. Another thing I hear is anybody listening to me? You know, I talk and talk and talk, and it seems like, Carol, nobody listens to what I'm saying. Also, I find that people in the metaphor around the psychological part is, don't tell me what to do. I know so many of the people that I get to touch their light when I'm doing my presentations or on my show are really personalities that do march to a different drummer. Their whole relationship with the world isn't the same, where, again, it's one size fit all. And so a lot of times people come in and they tell these personalities what to do because they see them as being indecisive or not being able to, get where they need to go or do what they need to do. So, again, it's like, don't tell me what to do. Anytime you use words around hear or listen or tell or talk, you know, don't talk to me that way, all of those things are indicators where our soul is using our hearing to basically filter out what we shouldn't be hearing, even if it's our own self-talk. But more importantly, it's teaching us that we need to speak and say things so we can set some healthy boundaries. A lot of times I find that people with tinnitus feel like something inside is trying to send a message. And, the woo-woo part of all this is a lot of times the guides and angels that we have literally can use noises to try to get our attention. Or a lot of times we can hear a voice and it doesn't really sound like ours, but it sounds like it's back behind us. And a lot of times we can hear that and we think that it's being drowned out. And then again, that's another thing with tinnitus. When it comes in, where you feel like you're getting these messages and you can't be heard, again, it's frustrating. And then the other thing is tinnitus, really upsides. I always see things from two sides. The thing with tinnitus is that when it increases, you're not going to listen to other people's rhetoric. Now, it can ultimately go in and affect some of the tones that you're able to hear. But in reality, it isn't just tinnitus that does that. It could be osteoporosis. It could be an inner wax buildup, as I talked to Karen from Carlsbad, California, before I went on break. So, again, just kind of, listen to what your soul is saying. And, in fact, if you can't hear it, just say, soul, what is creating this sound? And is it something I need to hear, or is it something that you're trying to tell me that I don't need to hear? Also, the people that march to their own drummers, again, compliance for rules. Also, tinnitus can be so distracting and so irritating that it can actually stop you from rehashing the old mantras or the old stories over and over again. I know with my personality color, I live so much in my head, and something can happen, and I play out scenario. I'm actually talking. I'm actually dialoguing. I mean, it's like somebody else is sitting in the room with me. And whenever it gets to the point where it's the same yada yada, it's kind of like, whoo, I get this ringing in my ear. It's like, okay, Carol, you don't need to do that anymore. I find that there's certain emotions that are actually associated with tinnitus, and the first one is disappointment. We're disappointed in ourselves. We're disappointed in other people. And as a result, then what we do is we really kind of bury that disappointment inside. Resentment is another emotion that I find. When the resentment builds up to where you feel like you're going to explode, it's not unusual to find that someone has ringing in the ear. Grief. This is where, when we get the ringing, it causes us to go inside and to just cut out the noise of the outer world so we can just go inside and actually deal with our emotions and to be able to experience the grief the way that we need to in order for us to heal. Also, displeasure. Oh, my goodness. So many times we find that something just kind of sets us off, and that displeasure and that stress that comes from it can raise the heartbeat and the blood pressure also. And then, of course, the most important one that I find, especially when tinnitus gets to where it sounds like your ears are just going to kind of explode with it, is to go inside and look at anger. And it isn't so much anger with other people as it is self-directed anger. And if there's something inside that's really causing you to be angry with yourself, it's really worthwhile shutting again off the world, going inside, having your quiet time, and just asking yourself, what's making you angry and why are you so angry at yourself? Now, when I ask the what question, you'll go in and you'll start thinking about all the situations and all the scenarios. When you ask, so why, the why question gets you really in touch with the emotion. When I touch tinnitus, I find that it's an illness of the soul. If you haven't read my book, Healing Happens With Your Help, you can purchase it on HayHouse.com or Amazon. But in this Healing Happens book, I actually map emotions and the organs and the glands and the muscle structure and then fears in the spine. And I break down that illness has three different components to it. The soul has its needs. The soul needs to grow and express itself. The mind has its needs. It needs to feel secure and in control of its environment. The body has needs, and that's to feel supported and to feel loved. Well, tinnitus is actually a need of the soul that's not being met. It's the soul saying, I need to grow, I need to express myself. In the book also, I talk about the things that you can change. The most important thing around tinnitus, and I don't know, Karen, if you're still listening, you can put this other little seed in your husband's, kind of plant it in his ear, put a little bug in his ear, as I call it, is changing attitudes. So often we get caught up in all the daily activities and the rhetoric and all the pressure and all the stress and everything else that we set an attitude toward it like every day is going to be the same old thing and every day is going to be as stressful. And when you have pessimistic attitude towards something, then what will happen is, again, it's a dialogue between your soul and body and says, you know, listen to yourself and then change what you're saying and change your attitude. So the most important thing to remember when you're dealing with tinnitus or anything else, really only you can heal yourself. I love what I do. I love sharing the big picture and hopefully giving all of you as listeners tools and little snippets of what you can do, but really it comes down to having to heal yourself. If you are suffering from tinnitus to any degree, what you might want to do is you might want to increase your supplement of B12, B6, zinc. And all three of these actually eases the symptoms of tinnitus. Niacin also improves the circulation in the inner ear. And then thiamine actually stabilizes the nervous system. Magnesium also for the symptoms of relief. And then ginkgo is very good to reduce the noise itself. Avoid foods that are natural noisemakers in the body, such as caffeine, salt, sugar, alcohol. Oh, my gosh. All the good food groups of the world, huh? And what we like to eat. But all of those increase blood pressure. It changes the dynamics between sodium, potassium, circulation, and all of those things change the chemistry. And they're called noise foods. Also, cognitive therapy. And what I mean by that is some stress management. Try to learn to manage the fight or flight. Craniosacral, wonderful modality. Again, the eighth cranial nerve is tied to hearing. If you don't know of a craniosacral practitioner, you can go online and go to John Upledger, UPLEDGER.com. And John is the beautiful being that created the craniosacral process. And then you can put your zip code in or your city, and it'll tell you the craniosacral practitioners in your area. Try masking the sound with music or environmental sounds such as thunder and rainstorms. One of the things that I do encourage is if you do have tinnitus, so often we'll put earphones on to be able to hear the noise. I would encourage you to not do that if you do suffer from tinnitus. What it'll do is it overstimulates the inner ear, and it can actually increase the vibration, the sounds coming directly into the ear. It can cause it to become overactive and can also increase the ringing sound. If you play the sounds at a slightly lower volume than the tinnitus for at least 90 minutes a day, and, you know, it doesn't have to be 90 minutes all at one time, but what you'll do is you'll actually retrain your brain to only respond to sounds that are soothing and pleasant. And then also the sound of water. There's a wonderful website called tinnituswatersounds.com. tinnituswatersounds.com. And it's just literally water sounds, and it's something that you can just have playing on your computer in the background, maybe in your office or in your cubicle or something. And again, you're actually retraining the brain to listen to only sounds that are soothing, and that will actually decrease the sound of the tinnitus as well. So lots of food for thought. And what I'm going to do now is, again, you can listen to it in the archives. You can download it on your MP3 player. We're just loving that part of it. But what I'd like to do now is let's go ahead, Rebecca, and let's take a couple more callers before we have to end the show.
All right. Next up, we have Jo, and she's calling from Richmond Beach, Virginia. And she wants to talk about some symptoms that she's not quite sure what they are. Welcome, Jo.
Okay. Well, hi, Carol.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. So how can I help you, sweetie?
Okay. The reason why I'm calling is because I've been having a lot of problems with nausea. I'm not quite sure if it's related to tinnitus, but the nausea I'm experiencing along with pain and achiness in my deep in my stomach.
Okie dokie.
Okay. Okay. And I had to take antibiotics for a urinary tract infection. And within the last year, I've lost 20 pounds, and I've had to go to the emergency room due to dehydration. I haven't been able to get much food or fluids down. They did an endoscopy. That came out negative. They did an ultrasound. That came out negative. And they also did a metabolic panel on my blood, and that came out negative. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I was just wondering if you could do a quick reading.
Okay, I sure can. Woo, you're really good. It's just like, poof, Carol, here I am. Okay, so one of the things that I find consistent in you is H. pylori. Has anybody ever tested you for that?
When they did the endoscopy, they supposedly took a biopsy to test to see if H. pylori is present.
Okay. You seem to have a chronic predisposition for H. pylori to surface in your stomach on a regular basis. Not daily. It isn't all the time. But certain foods that you eat causes the bacteria, the H. pylori bacteria, to kind of form community, I'm going to say it that way, in your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it changes the way the stomach dynamic works, the way that you digest food. I think that it causes the stomach to become irritated. That may be some of your pain that you're feeling. I went in when you were talking to me. I checked for irritable bowel. You certainly have some of the symptoms, but I can't really find that it's a classic irritable bowel syndrome issue, and they probably could have found some of the symptomology of that when they did, the upper GI with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go back, hon. Tell me again how long you've had this, you said?
Well, I've had problems with reflux esophagitis all my life. I had a surgery performed at age 13, but
right. It
seemed to have really gotten worse within the last year.
Yeah. So, go back when you were a child, 4 or 5 years old, where were you living?
I was living in Portsmouth, Virginia.
Okay.
I come from a military background.
Okay. Were you, there's two things I pick up. One is there's a parasite that you constantly keep dealing with. I think that's part of your weight loss.
Uh-huh.
And so I've got a parasite, and I've got some heavy metals. Have you tested for heavy metals?
Have I been tested?
Yes.
Not recently, no.
Okay. Okay, so let me go back. Because I wanted to go in because the stomach, you know, with the H. pylori, it just kind of comes and then it just does its thing, and then it can, whether you go on antibiotics, that's probably what has made it go away, because that's one of the ways that they treat it. And then it subsides, and then things start to settle out. And then I go down into the small intestine, and when I've got any kind of bacterial activity, then I've got this weight loss in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I can pick up still some activity of a parasite. And so let's see, are you working with a naturopath? Are you working with an integrative medicine doctor?
I went to see an acupuncturist, and I saw him three times, and it didn't seem to help with the stomach. It helped with the TMJ, but it didn't seem to touch the nausea or the stomach issues I was experiencing.
Yeah. Well, the nausea, there's a couple of things with the nausea. Let's go back to the stomach.
Okay.
When the bacteria gets active in your stomach, food comes in and it doesn't stay very long, and then it's immediately eliminated, meaning it doesn't macerate itself to the point where it can be broken down to where you're getting the full usage of the foods that you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you're not being able to absorb the foods and the nutrients is an indicator of that. Also, the fact that the way that your stomach isn't producing enough acid for this to happen, I think is having a lot to do with the loss of fluid in your body as well. So I'm
going
to keep coming back to the stomach with that and the dynamics around that. And then when I go in and touch the second part of that and I can pick up this parasite, I can go into the small intestine, and the foods that you're getting down in that area are not being broken down enough, and they're not moving as quick as they need to. So I've got some malabsorption going on in that area as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's not as much mucus in that in the small intestine that needs to be.
Uh-huh.
I've got a magnesium deficiency. I've got a potassium deficiency. I've got a folic acid deficiency. I've got niacin deficiency. So if you're when you're working with the acupuncturist, they'd be moving the qi, which would help with the TMJ, but it wouldn't be helping with the other symptomology. Also, cranial nerve 10 is called the vagus nerve, or vagus nerve. And then what you do is that one affects the nausea. This is the second part of it. When you get out of balance in your gut, it changes your blood pH, and it changes your cerebral spinal pH. And when that changes, it comes in, and now I can start to find the cerebral spinal fluid getting too acidic, and now I get your cranial nerves involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole lot of information. Let me net it down for you, hon, because, take a deep breath, Carol. Most important thing is that we want to get your gut back. We would like if you would talk to someone about doing some HCL. We need to put some more pepsin in your stomach to where we can actually increase the amount of acid. Now, I know that based on your history and what you've had to do, it's like, oh, my gosh, Carol, I don't know if I want to do that. But I want you to talk to somebody about that.
Okay.
Because I think with all of your issues, you're not getting enough acid in there, and it's causing this H. pylori bacteria to activate. So I would look at that. I would look at doing some minerals. I think you've got a tremendous mineral deficiency I'm picking up, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then what you might want to also do is you might want to steam your food, vegetables. Don't eat anything raw. Keep everything as liquid as you can and see if you could put some more weight on you that way.
Okay. Okay. Well, I am on a proton pump inhibitor to help my stomach called Acifex, and I'm also taking Cipro, the antibiotic. So could that be messing up my stomach even more?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
What it's doing, honey, is it's taking care of one part, but it's messing up the other part.
Right. Right. Okay, so what's the best way to go about this? I mean, see a naturopath?
So the best way, are you working with an integrative doctor, or are you working with a traditional doctor?
Just a traditional Western doc.
Okay. Okay, so what we would like to do is we would like to go in and ask the doctor about the ramifications of antibiotics for a prolonged period of time.
Uh-huh.
And how can that affect your body?
Okay.
Then I would like you to do some research on H. pylori.
Uh-huh.
I'd like you to do some research on candida.
Okay.
I would like you to do some research on the cranial nerve.
Okay.
And in the cranial nerve, then you can go and you can find some places in your body that you can do your own acupressure.
Okay.
And that will help you with your nausea. When you get nauseated, you can actually press on specific pressure points on your hands in particular, in the web of your hand, and that will take away some of the imbalance from the cranial nerves.
Okay.
The other thing is I wouldn't do acupuncture, but I would look at acupressure.
Acupressure.
And work with someone with that.
Okay. So the nausea is because of everything being kind of off in my system.
It is. The nausea is off because the pH is off. The stomach's not breaking the food down as much. The food gets in there. It feels like it's cramping. It doesn't feel like it's digesting. The stomach goes, get this stuff out of here really quick, and it does.
Okay. Will I be able to recover?
I do believe you will.
Okay.
I think what we need to do is we need to look at malabsorption issues and work with someone with that. And then replace and give your body what it needs, what it's missing. And then I think it'll retrain itself. I really do think that, you know, if you can find the right regimen, and that's why I tried to give you so much and connect the dots, I think with the right regimen, 6 months from now, really, you could be to a place where you could be back to feeling what you call normal.
Okay. Homeopath doctor would be good.
Homeopath doctor would be good. You know, also go to Dr. Andrew Weils, W-E-I-L-L.
Uh-huh.
Go to his website, and I know for a lot of the listeners that are out there that, you know, this is tied to tinnitus to some degree for some of the listeners. But go to Dr. Andy Wild's site and look at what he has to say.
Okay. One last question. Lexapro, would that be good for me?
Lexapro?
Yes.
Yes, it would be good for you. Yes, it would be good for you. Excuse me for the hesitation, so you know why I hesitated. It would be good for you to help you with the overall feelings of what's happening in the body, but I would ask the doc about any kind of chemistry changes, what you could expect, and be sure that you understand all the side effects tied to it.
Okay.
My sense is that it might help you get off the antibiotics.
Okay.
And I'm doing that straight energetic.
Okay. It would help to get off the antibiotics that I'm on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And by doing so, it should alleviate some of the symptoms I'm experiencing now.
Yes, I would think it would.
Okay.
I would think it would. But, I would really find out everything. Because there's one last part, and I'll kind of close the show down with that. The most difficult thing for you, sweetie, is you can't connect the dots. The information isn't, you're getting snippets of information, bits and pieces of it, but you can't connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is we want to really keep that stomach healthy and happy. And that's where you need to start.
Okay.
And in the stomach, we carry grief.
Right.
And so you might look at that element also, but that's where you want to go. Keep the stomach healthy. And then everything else will take care of itself.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for this helpful information, Carol.
Well, you are so welcome. And, you know, I found out last night, and thank you so much for calling me, very interesting things. A lot of times, you know, when I was doing my readings last night at the event, it's interesting how group consciousness is all the same. And when I shared something, people would come up to me and go, you know, I wasn't going to ask that question, Carol, but the information really, really helped. So all of the things that I've shared today really, I hope, will help you with tinnitus or help you just look at your body different and be willing to go beyond just the physical part of the body and listen to what you say to yourself. And then if you do that, then you're going to find that healing really does happen, because healing is putting the body back to where it was before. Thank you for joining me. You have a wonderful day. Catch me next week on Contact Talk Radio. Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.